Now, this passage that we have read tonight identifies two separate and two distinct calls that are made by certain people. In the first place, we have the call of the seeking Savior. The Lord Jesus says in verse 24, I have called. I have called. He stands in this chapter portrayed as one who is speaking and calling to the world of mankind, calling to men and women and young people to repent and to believe the gospel. He is calling them to be saved. He is calling to them with the offer of mercy, with the promise of gospel salvation. And he says tonight, I have called. But in the second place, we find another call, not the call of the seeking Savior, but it is the call of the scorning sinner. The Lord Jesus says in verse 28, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. Then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. The call of the scorning sinner in a day when his voice and when his cry will not be heard or answered by the seeking Savior who called so oft times before. What a solemn passage this is, and what a solemn picture is portrayed to every one of us in these verses that we have read. These two calls placed alongside each other teach us the solemn message of the consequence of rejecting the gospel. They teach us what the consequence is upon men and women and young people who refuse to listen and refuse to obey the call of the Son of God. These two calls teach us that we can only be saved in God's time and in God's terms. Then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. Men and women, this call from a gracious Savior offering salvation is a call that states very clearly that you can only be saved in God's time and upon God's terms. For there will come a time when men will cry to the Savior and they will not find Him. And they will not find the salvation that was to be found in Him when He offered it to them so many times in the past. We can only be saved in God's time and upon God's terms. Let's look at this call of the seeking Savior tonight. The Lord Jesus says in verse 24, I have called. I want you to notice it is a personal call. The Lord says, I have called. Who is this person who calls men and women? He is identified as wisdom. Wisdom crieth without. She uttereth her voice in the streets. She crieth in the chief place of concourse, in the openings of the gates in the city. She uttereth her words. This person who speaks is described as wisdom. Paul, in his letter to the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 23, says that we preach Christ, who is the power of God and the wisdom of God. The Lord Jesus is wisdom personified. He is wisdom manifested in the flesh. Paul wrote to the Colossians and he said, in Him are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. There is only one person who can be described as wise, the only wise God, Jesus Christ, His Son, co-equal with the Father, possesses that infinite wisdom, that unerring wisdom, which if men will follow and take heed to, they will never go astray. They will never be led astray if they follow Christ, because He is wisdom. And He will always lead men and women in the right way, in the way that is everlasting. The Lord Jesus here calls men personally. I have called. It is He who is speaking. He came in the flesh. He came into this world personally, taking into union with His deity the likeness of our humanity, and being found in fashion as a man, He became a man without ceasing to be God. And He walked upon the streets of Jerusalem and the streets of Israel. Upon the sands of time He walked, and men and women actually saw Him, and they actually heard His words. He came and He spoke personally. He spoke in the flesh. But when He took into union with His deity the likeness of our humanity, He took a nature that was finite, a nature that was limited. He entered into all the infirmities of the flesh. And that meant that He who was the eternal, omnipresent God in the flesh, as far as His human form was concerned, His flesh was then confined to one place in time, to one point in space. His body could not be in two places at one time. And therefore, it was necessary for Him, in speaking to men and calling to men, to send forth representatives and ambassadors. In Matthew chapter 10, we read how He sent forth His disciples throughout the villages and the towns of Israel. And He said, I send you forth. He was sending them forth to speak on His behalf, so that He would speak through them, and that men and women would hear His calling voice. The Lord said to His disciples, He that receiveth you, receiveth Me. The Apostle Paul said, now then we are ambassadors, as though God did beseech you by us. You know, it's something that men and women do not take into consideration tonight. But every time the Word of God is preached by a human vessel, by an earthen vessel, that Word is Christ calling men, speaking through His ambassadors, speaking through His representatives. It is Christ calling. Christ calling. So many people will go past this building tonight and they will think, there is just a man there, but it's not. Oh yes, it's just an earthen vessel that's delivering the message. But it is the Son of God calling men, speaking to men. And every time that this book is opened and every time the Word of God is preached, though it be by an earthen vessel, it is the Son of God calling. It's the Son of God speaking. And Jesus says here, I have called. Yes, He came in the flesh. And He spoke audibly to men. And men saw Him and men heard His words. But He is still speaking. He is speaking by His Spirit through the ministry and the preaching of His Word. Still speaking. Savior is calling. You'll notice that this call is plain. It's abundantly plain. In verse 23, the Lord says, turn you at My reproof. There's no confusion here. as to what the Lord is saying to men and women. When you read the Gospels and you observe what the Lord spoke in the days of His flesh, there's no confusion there. He came to men and He said, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Turn from your sin, believe the Gospel, repent of your sin, and be saved." His message is plain. His call is plain. Men and women are on the wrong road. They're heading in the wrong direction. They're heading in a direction that will bring them only to destruction. And the Lord Jesus has clearly declared it to men. You see that in verse 32. He says, "For the turning away of the simple shall slay them." When men turn away from God, it will only bring them to destruction. And when the Lord Jesus came in the flesh, He called to men and He said, "If you do not return, you'll perish. You'll be damned and lost." There is no ambiguity. There is no vagueness concerning what the Lord is saying to men. Men have gone out of the way. They have turned from God. They've followed their own way. They have chosen sin. And that sin will bring them to destruction. That sin will bring them down to hell. The Lord Jesus said it. The Lord Jesus said it. He left men in no doubt, in absolutely no doubt, that if they carry on in their way without Him, they will perish. And they will be in hell. And the Lord calls to men and He says, "Turn, turn, repent. Because if you do not repent, you will be lost and you will perish in your sin." How plain is the call of the Savior. How plain is His message. And in that message, there's a tremendous promise. The promise of safety. Verse 33, "Whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely." Men and women will listen to His word and obey His word and repent of their sin and believe on Him, they will be saved. They will dwell safely. They will not perish. The Lord Jesus said, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." How plain is the Savior's message? How plain is His message to men? He's calling personally, and His message is plain to men. They need to repent of their sin, or else they will perish. But trust Him and they will be saved. They will be saved. You will be saved. You can see that this call is public. Wisdom crieth without, outside. He's not speaking in some secluded corner, hid from the ears of men. She uttereth her voice in the street. She crieth in the chief place of the concourse, in the place where people meet together, where people assemble together in the public place. He is speaking publicly to all men. God now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Over there in chapter 8, we have another of those illustrations where wisdom is personified. Verse 1, "Doth not wisdom cry, and understanding put forth her voice? She standeth in the top of high places, by the way, in the places of the paths. She crieth at the gates, at the entry of the city, at the coming in of the, at the doors." Remember when they came to take the Lord Jesus? The Lord said, "Was I not with you in the temple? Did I not speak openly to you?" He speaks publicly to all men. He has commanded His servants and His messengers to go into all the world and to preach the gospel to every creature. This is a public call. You can see that it is a persistent call. In verse 20, the verb here is placed in the continuous tense, the present continuous, wisdom crieth. This is something that is ongoing, something that's persistent, something that's perpetual. Some will ask, why does the Lord delay His coming? Why is it that He does not bring this evil world to its conclusion? Why is it that He delays His coming? Well, here is the answer. Because He's still crying. He's still calling. And think of how many years have passed, and throughout all those years, all those generations, all those centuries, the Lord has been calling to man. Another week has passed, and through this week, the Lord Jesus has stood in the streets, in the place of concourse, in the public place, crying to man, lifting up His voice and calling, speaking, calling man to repent, calling man to turn, calling man to be saved. How persistent this call is. How many times has He called you? How many times has He spoken to you? And still He speaks again. The persistent call of the Savior. Notice it is a passionate call in verse 24. He says, I have stretched out my hand. I have stretched out my hand. When a man stretches out his hand to another, it is a sign of friendship. It is a token of compassion and love. And as the Lord Jesus comes to man with this personal and plain message, He stretches out His hand, and that hand indicates the compassion of His heart. He is under no obligation to warn men or to invite men or to offer to men salvation, and yet He stands with outstretched hand. And if only men and women would take the time to stop and consider, they would see that there are marks in His hands. They are the marks of the nails. Nails that were driven into His hands in order that He might die upon a cross of shame. And there upon that cross He bled and died so that that way of salvation could be opened. And men and women could be called and invited to partake of that great and glorious salvation. What a passionate call this is. Jesus Christ stretching out His hand to sinners. With the offer of mercy, and the offer of salvation. But notice this call. Not only is it personal, and not only is it plain and public and persistent and passionate, but it is a call that is passing. He says in verse 24, I have called. And notice the tense here. You see, in verse 20, it is the present tense. Wisdom crieth. The Lord Jesus is calling. But when you come to verse 24, the tense changes from the present to the past. I have called. Indicating that that calling has now ceased. What a solemn message there is there for every sinner. Yes, the Lord Jesus calls men, calls them often, calls them persistently, calls them patiently. But the truth of this Bible is that there is a time coming when He will call no more, when His call will have ceased. And He will say, I have called. But I will call no more. this call cannot be presumed upon. And if today and if tonight He calls you again, do not presume that He will call you tomorrow. Oh, He may, but He may not. Alas, how often this call is rejected. He says in verse 24, I have called and ye refused. I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded. Ye have set at naught all my counsel and would none of my reproof. The Lord Jesus is calling men and women in this neighborhood tonight. Whether they are in this building or whether they are not, it doesn't change the fact that He's still calling them. As this book is opened and read and preached, Jesus Christ is calling this community. And so many will just pass by and despise His call. The call of the seeking Savior. But notice secondly, the call of the scorning sinner. When the Savior's call is unheeded by man, it will result in the unheeded call of the sinner. Then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. There is a day coming when sinners who so often have been called by the Savior in mercy, but yet because they have refused and despised that call, there will come a time in their life when they will cry to Him and He will not answer them. You see, the Lord unfolds here a solemn reality. It's the reality of destruction. Verse 26, He says, I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind. When distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call. The Lord is speaking about that great day of judgment. That great day when destruction and perdition is brought upon the souls of men. And on that day, they will cry to Him, but they will have no answer from Him. The Lord is teaching men here that if they carry on in their sinful, stubborn, selfish way, rejecting Him, it will most certainly bring them to destruction. It's the message of the Bible. Sin brings death and it brings destruction. The turning away of the simple shall slay them. Oh, the devil comes along and he says, but there's life and there's joy and there's pleasure in sin. The devil is a liar. Nothing but death and separation and everlasting hell in the way of the sinner. That's the Bible's teaching. And the world doesn't want to hear it. The world wants its sin and it wants its godlessness. And yet all the time Jesus Christ is standing with outstretched hand and He says, you're heading to destruction. Heading down to that everlasting perdition. What a reality there is here. But not only is there a reality, there is a refusal. When men are brought to that point, when the door of mercy is closed, and they've sinned away the day of grace, and their sin has brought them to the blackness of darkness forever. They will call upon me, and I will not answer. This is a prophetic statement. The Lord will refuse the call. This loving, compassionate, merciful Savior. And yet He says, there is a day coming and I will not answer. And they will not find me. It will be too late. Too late. Too late to be saved. Too late to find pardon so freely offered in time. Too late to find the cleansing of the precious blood which alone can purge that deep stain of guilt. Too late. Too late to be saved. And what is the reason? Is the reason to be found in the merciful, compassionate heart of a loving Savior? No, the reason is to be found in the sinful, scorning, despising heart of the sinner. You see, the Lord gives the reason why He will act in this way, why He will respond in this way. Verse 28, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me, for or because that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. And they would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. Here's the reason why He will not answer. And here's the reason why they will not find mercy when they call on that day. It is because they have already chosen in their hearts that which is opposite to Him. The problem is with the heart. Verse 22, the Savior identifies this and He says, how long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity? The idea of that word simple is folly or foolishness. How long will you love that which is folly? And that word love has to do with the affection of the heart. And how long will the scorners delight in their scorning? And how long will fools hate knowledge? These words, to love, to delight, to hate, they have to do with the heart. And you see, when the gospel came and the Savior called them and He stood with outstretched arms and He told them to repent, in their heart they rejected Him. And on that day when they stand at His judgment throne and they call to Him, He will not answer. Because their heart did not choose the fear of the Lord. Oh, the problem tonight is the heart of man. The sinful, selfish, stubborn heart of man. And if men follow their own heart, the only place it will bring them is the place where they can never find the mercy of God again. How wise it is to follow the Word of God instead of the heart of man. The perdition of the lost man is his own responsibility. That's what the Lord is saying here. You know why men perish? They perish because they did not choose the fear of the Lord. They chose sin. men perish because they choose to perish. And they choose to perish when they do not choose Christ as their Saviour. That's the bottom line. When a man refuses Jesus Christ as a Saviour, he's choosing the road to hell. That's just the bottom line of it. How solemn this chapter is. The chief lesson that arises from it is the truth that the day of salvation is limited. We cannot be saved whenever we like. We can only be saved in God's time and on God's terms. And therefore we cannot treat lightly the gospel, the offer of grace in the preaching of the Word of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. The Apostle Paul makes a statement there in the verse 2. He quotes what God has said. For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Yes, there is a time when God will hear sinners and God will save them. That's what Paul is saying here when he quotes this verse. There's an accepted time for sinners to be saved. But you know, this verse is a quotation from the prophecy of Isaiah. And if you turn to chapter 49 of Isaiah, you will find the context in which these words are spoken. Isaiah 49 and verse 8, thus saith the Lord, in an acceptable time have I heard thee, and in a day of salvation have I helped thee, and I will preserve thee and give thee for a covenant of the people to establish the earth, to cause to inherit the desolate heritages, that thou mayest say to the prisoners, go forth, to them that are in darkness, show yourselves. They shall feed in the ways, and their pasture shall be in all high places. They shall not hunger nor thirst, neither shall the heat nor sun smite them. For he that hath mercy on them shall lead them, even by the springs of water shall he guide them. Notice that these words are spoken to Christ. In an acceptable time have I heard thee. God is speaking to His Son. And the picture that is painted here is of Christ coming to the Father and speaking to the Father and pleading with the Father on behalf of prisoners. And the Father says to His Son, in an acceptable time have I heard thee, that thou mayest go, say to the prisoners, go forth. I want you to see what's happening here. God is saying that the only way that a sinner can be saved is when Christ pleads His cause before the Father. And God is saying that there is only a limited time when that can take place. When the Son can come as the surety and as the ransom and as the advocate and as the mediator for the sinner before His Father. It's only a certain time. And after that time finishes, it will be impossible for sinners to find the advocate and the mediator who they need to plead their cause before a holy God. It's just a sad time. And that is why in Isaiah chapter 61, Isaiah was given these words to speak of Christ. And when Christ came, the first public sermon that he preached was preached from this passage, Isaiah 61. And he quoted these words, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, the prisoners. He has sent me because He has accepted me as the sinner's advocate and as the sinner's mediator. He has accepted me, and if I plead on behalf of the sinner, God will justify and pardon the sinner on account of me." And therefore He went forth to proclaim this liberty to the captives. But look at this. In verse 2, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. In other words, that there's only a limited time when I can do this. There's only a limited time for the sinner to find the advocate who can bring him before God and justify him and find God's pardon. That acceptable year, that set time, that limited time. And then when you come to Isaiah chapter 55, verse 6 says, "Seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near." It's only a set time when Jesus Christ stands as the advocate for the sinner to plead His cause before a holy God. There's only a set time. And that time is passing. And that is why the Lord says, there will come a day when they will call upon Me and I will not answer them. Because that set time, that limited time, will have come to an end. We cannot trifle with the call and with the offer and with the invitation of the gospel. You cannot trifle with this, because there is only a limited time for the sinner to find the Savior who alone and present him faultless before God, and therefore save his soul for all eternity. 2 calls. The call of the seeking Savior. So often unheeded. But yet when it is obeyed, it will bring the blessing of gospel salvation. But the call of the scorning sinner in a day when mercy cannot be found. Jesus Christ is calling you tonight. If you're not saved, you need to be saved. And you cannot presume upon the call and the offer of His mercy. Now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. You cannot put this off. You need to be saved now, before it is too late. Before it is too late. Because these words will be fulfilled. They shall call. but I will not answer. The religious man on that day will discover that all his religion has been in vain. And he will call on Christ, but he will not answer him. The vain and godless man who lived for pleasure, profanity, on that day he'll realize that all his sin has only heaped up the wrath of God against him, and he will call, but he will not find an answer. How necessary it is to call now. And the promise of the Bible is that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But it's a promise that is bound within the constraints of God's limitation. You must call in God's time and upon God's terms. For only then will you find salvation.